This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
A hearty hello to all of you out there in radio or podcast land, depending upon how you choose to digest the Matt Rooney Show here on 1210 WPHT. We are pleased and very happy you're joining us for another episode of our little program. You know how to take it in if you are new to this exercise. You can do it the old-fashioned way on the radio dial, or use the Odyssey app, and you can subscribe to the podcast wherever quality podcasts are found, because that's what we do around here. We produce quality, at least when producer Dan Valdez is joining me on the program. This is two programs in a row you've actually been present for work. Congratulations,
it's like,
bud.
It's like three.
Woo!
Well, we had two last week, and then we had off last week because of the Phillies, and now here we are. So it's like three in a row.
I'm going to get you some of them scratch and sniff stickers that you get when you're a kid. Ooh. And you do a really good job. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I had Smensals when I was younger, though.
Smensals? What is that?
Smensals. That's a smelly pencil.
Oh, right. Okay, so it smells like cherry or watermelon.
Yeah. Root beer, watermelon, yeah. Bubble gum.
Ooh, I haven't had a good root beer in a while.
Birch beer is better.
But that's ridiculous.
Maybe that's just the Pennsylvanian me, but
if I'm drinking it, I prefer root beer. If I'm sniffing it or huffing it, then Dan is a
crack cocaine
kind of guy.
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, you know, I figured you and Hunter got to try something different from time to time when you're hanging out outside
where,
of the White House Situation Room, right?
That's where Hunter and I bonded.
Yeah. Well, it was mighty sweet of you to keep him company.
Yeah, someone had to do it, and I was like, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah, good man. That's why we're honored to have you as part of the Matt Rooney Show team. And we've got another jam-packed episode today, folks. So I hope you're ready for it. You have to prepare your body, not for the Thunderdome, but to be enlightened, to be challenged. We put you through your paces here on this program. And school is definitely in session. It's back to school time for some of our friends down in the southern more red states. It won't be long before our kids in the mid-Atlantic are heading back into the classrooms to be indoctrinated by the teachers' unions. We're going to be joined by one of our favorite all-time guests tonight, Dr. Jonathan Lesser, to talk about what I believe is the number one issue right now in election 2025 in New Jersey. Possibly 2026 if it keeps up. The fact that New Jerseyans' electric bills are doubling or tripling relative to where they were this time last year. It's no joke, Dan. I mean, there are senior citizens in New Jersey right now who get their electric bill. It was, you know, a couple $100 last year. This year it's $500, $600. And they have to say to themselves, do I want air conditioning or do I want to go pick up that prescription?
Aren't y'all in like a state of emergency or something?
Well, the Democrat nominee for governor, the ones to replace Phil Murphy, has said that she will declare a state of emergency. But that raises the question, well, why aren't they declaring one now? She's not a member of the opposition party. She's a Democrat. The current governor who's endorsed her, Phil Murphy, Chompers, is a Democrat. So why are we not in an emergency until January when she hopes to be inaugurated as our state's next chief executive? There's a gap in logic there that has not been explained to me. The crisis is now, and it's of the Democrats' own making, right? We like to try to lay things off on both parties because, let's face it, Republicans often deserve criticism. But this one's pretty nakedly and easily obvious, if you analyze it honestly and directly. New Jersey had, and we'll talk to Dr. Lesser about this in a minute, six more power plants when Chris Christie left office 8 years ago than it has today. Phil Murphy did not replace a single one of them, but they did spend a gazillion dollars on trying to build those whale-killing pinwheels in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, those offshore wind farms that they wanted to erect off of Cape May and Atlantic counties, obviously went nowhere. And even if they had built them, it wouldn't have succeeded in doing anything other than killing Shamu and Flipper's relatives. Wouldn't have made our electric bills any cheaper. So We didn't invest in natural gas infrastructure. We didn't build a single new nuclear plant, Dan. We have less supply. We used to be, as of 2016, 2017, a net exporter of energy in the Garden State. Now we are importing a significant amount of our energy, mainly from Pennsylvania. If it wasn't for Pennsylvania, I wouldn't be able to ever do this show remotely because we wouldn't have any power in the Garden State. I'd be outside with one of those old school cranks, or I'd have to build one of those giant wheels and put some gerbils on it and have it spin so that I could find a way to power this little Comrex system.
What do you mean? That's what are you talking about? That's what the Amish do. They have the little hamster wheels. You ever been to Shady Maple? That's how they get all that food out there.
No, the Amish do not use hamster wheels.
I've seen them myself.
How have you seen them?
What do you mean? I've driven past them. I've seen them.
You've driven? Well, no. Hold on a second. Folks, you have to, if you're new to the program, okay, and I know many of you are, it's a big year, so you're tuning in, you have to know that you have to take everything that producer Dan says with a grain of salt. I get it. He's so lovable and likable. You know, this like cute little elven character who operates the board here on the Matt Rooney Show, but he is also a trickster. He's a notorious trickster. So he says things, and you have to always make sure that you double and triple check them. I don't think that the Amish have hamster powered wheels. Some of them probably have wheels that are powered by water.
Maybe.
Right? Like a mill power.
Maybe, but they have hamster wheels.
I show me the proof.
Okay. I'm not going to do it now, but I'll do it later.
No, I want you to go out to Amish country right now and take a picture of one of these hamster wheels for me.
Okay, yeah. Let me just drive out in the middle of the show.
Just drive out in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
I've seen water mills.
Yeah. No,
it's going to be one of those programs, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
Yes, see, truthfully, Dan is the problem here, right? We try to invest in New Jersey in these fantastical technologies that don't exist or aren't reliable. And as a result, we don't have enough power. So when you don't have enough power, then you have to buy it elsewhere. And what happens? Prices inevitably rise. Less supply means higher prices. This is economics 101, but we know that the Democrats in our lives, economics is not their strong suit. Phil Murphy and Mikey Sherrill are no exception. So very long answer to short question from producer Dan. Yes, Mikey Sherrill says that she wants to declare a state of emergency in New Jersey to address rising utility costs, but that's kind of like a tobacco company telling you that they're going to declare war on lung cancer. Mikey and her crew are the ones causing it. Can you really trust them to do anything about it? Especially when they're on record, folks. They hate natural gas. They don't want pipelines. They don't like fracking over in Pennsylvania. They haven't done anything to build a new nuclear plant, even though they pay it a lot of lip service. She wants solar and she wants wind, which doesn't work. Anything that needs to be subsidized, anything that needs government money, your tax dollars, in order to thrive, is not a technology worth investing in. It needs to be able to stand on its own if it's going to work. So the people causing the crisis, no, they can't be trusted to solve it. We need somebody like Jack Cittarelli who understands and appreciates and respects basic market economics and recognizes that, you know what, natural gas is clean. Nuclear energy is clean. Let's invest in things that we know work so that we can power our future and not turn into the California of the East Coast, where you spend your entire summer season ducking and dodging brownouts. That's no way to run a world-class economy. I don't know why these leftists want to be California. California is a failed experiment, but I don't know what to tell you. You can lead a horse to water. You can't make a drink. We're going to talk to Dr. Jonathan Lesser of Continental Economics about that on the other end of our break. And of course, we got plenty of more fun ahead on this episode of The Matt Rooney Show. We have Twit Talk coming up at the end of the program. It's the segment that I always hesitate to continue to include, but it's actually in Dan's contract, so I'm not allowed to excise it from the program. So all we can do is hope that it's not going to offend too many of you this evening, but who are we kidding? It's probably disgusting. What, no comment?
Again,
you're not going to defend yourself?
You remember that last time we were here? We did that thing where I just, words went in and I just didn't understand. And I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, I did that again.
That's not some kind of complex, interesting new thing. You're not tuned in.
Someone walked in and I got distracted.
Hi, Bella.
Yeah.
It was Bella. Well, Bella's very distracting, the lovely Bella. So you can't be blamed. You can't be blamed for that.
Yeah, so you might, can you repeat your question? Can you repeat that again? You said that in a sentence.
Can you write it on the board, teacher?
Yeah.
No, don't worry. No, don't worry about it. I was just plugging Twit Talk. I said it was probably going to be disgusting tonight.
Nah, it's tame.
It's tame?
It's tame.
We'll make it sound a little salacious so that people stay tuned.
Ooh, it's so tame. You said salacious, not seductive. Got it. All right, got the two mixed up.
you mixed up your SAT words, but that's okay. Try again.
I didn't take SATs.
What do you mean you didn't take the SATs?
I didn't take SATs.
How did you get into college?
I went to community college.
Oh.
And then transferred out.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. We're learning new things about you all the time.
Yep.
That's okay. All right. Well, it's still the colloquialism for it.
I'm like a book. You know, the more you keep reading, the more you reveal.
Oh, I hate you.
Yeah.
We've got a new segment tonight on the show, too.
Yeah, we do.
Which I'm very excited about. Did you prepare it?
I did.
Are we prepared?
I did.
Excellent. We've got a surprise for you folks. We're always innovating.
I don't know if it's up to your standards, but for mine, it's decent for no production value on the show. Because, we're just a weekend show. I do everything by hand.
Just a weekend show. Hat tip our friend Dawn Stenslin, who once infamously said that. She felt bad about it, so we don't want to rip her too much.
I mean, apparently they still rip me on the morning show, so there's that.
Oh, yeah, they still do make fun of you.
Yeah. Clearly, I'm just living rent-free in their heads.
You are. I don't know why. I don't know how you were able to kind of squirm your way on in there, but you did it.
Yeah.
Consider it a compliment.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So we're very excited about the new segment. It's going to be a great show. So let's do this. Let's fill up our coffee mugs. Let's take a break and play some ads because we keep the lights on by making money from our advertisers. And when we return, Dr. Jonathan Lesser will join us on The Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
What's happening with Xfinity Live, Dan? They're changing the name?
Yeah, it's now going to Stateside Live.
Stateside, like the seltzer.
Yes, because it was founded in Kensington. So now there's a new partnership. Xfinity Live is out. Stateside Live is in.
And you're lobbying for... area. They are, which will be pretty cool. But your lobbying for High Noon Live was unsuccessful. I'm sorry.
Correct. Yeah, I was the only one that was signed that petition. Everyone kind of looked at me like, get lost, kid. And yeah.
And you kind of walked away sadly, hunched.
Drinking High Noon, yeah.
Drinking High Noon to the Peanut song.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, you know that I don't drink any of these seltzers, though.
Right. Yeah, because you're a man. And no man should be drinking a seltzer. I got it. 100%. You said it, not me.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I'm just glad that you acknowledge it. The great Ron Swanson once said that clear alcohol is for rich white women on diets. And I subscribe to that.
I don't remember him saying that, but I believe it.
Just go.
Make sure that wasn't Gandhi.
Probably someone online is attributed to Gandhi. Every quote has been attributed to Gandhi at some point or another.
There it is.
Don't trust the interwebs, children. But I'll tell you someone.
Quote it.
I'll tell you someone you can trust here on the Matt Rooney Show. He's one of our faves. We haven't had it back in a while, so we were long overdue. But the ongoing electric bill crisis in New Jersey made me say, you know what? We need to check in with the good doctor. Jonathan Lesser, he's president of Continental Economics, has many years of experience working and consulting for regulated utilities and the government. He's addressed economic and regulatory issues affecting energy in the United States, Canada, Latin America. He's testified before Congress and state legislatures. Long story short, he understands this stuff, and even more unique for this day and age, he just gives you the truth. He doesn't gaslight. So we're a fan of him here on 1210 WPHT. So Dr. Lesser, good to talk to you, sir. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
We talked a lot last year before the presidential election here on the Matt Rooney Show, because our core listening area takes in South Jersey, a ton about offshore wind. And we've made some strides against that, you know, farcical technology since then, Dr. Lesser. Thanks in no small part due to President Trump. But we kind of saw this one coming, right? Because what happens when you neglect your energy capacity, your ability to produce energy, waste all of your resources on offshore wind, and then offshore wind goes belly up? Well, all of a sudden you don't have any energy production, and naturally your energy is going to become more expensive. So I know plenty of friends and family, and include myself in this, that has seen their electric bill double or worse year over year. Wouldn't it be nice, Dr. Lesser, if humans were able to anticipate these things rather than have to get smacked in the face with them before we make a correction?
Well, anyone with half a brain could have anticipated this. So let's roll back the clock. What New Jersey's done under Governor Murphy, they forced the shutdown of the Oyster Creek nuclear plant. Nice, clean, emissions-free generator. They've been causing the shutdown of natural gas generators. They've been promoting wind and solar. And like you said, offshore wind was going to be Governor Murphy's big thing. He wanted 11,000 megawatts of it. And at the same time, they're promoting and, in fact, mandating electrification. The state's vaunted state energy plan, for which the BPUs never actually released the costs, and the updated plan was supposed to come out a year ago last December. So you increase electricity demand, and you're also seeing increased demand from data centers, which the state is trying to attract, and artificial intelligence. While you're forcing reliable generators to shut down. So what happens? Well, supply decreases, demand increases, prices start to soar. And that's what you're seeing now. And the solutions the state has promoted, these $30 a month rebates for the next 2 months, and then after which customers will then have to repay it all, and taking money into the, you know, from basically taxpayers to help low income customers. That's not solving the problem at all. I have an analogy for this, Matt, if you'll bear with me a second. If you're driving a car down the road and you're coming up to a railroad crossing, and so the red lights are flashing, the gates are down, and you see a train going by, big freight train. What do you do? Well, normal people would stop. But in the case of the Murphy administration, what they've done is basically hit the throttle, accelerate like mad, and saying, you know, we're going to show that freight train what we're about. And they smash into the freight train and destroy themselves in terms of destroying the electricity market. And, you know, just walk away. It's really amazing to me just how these folks don't understand basic physics, basic concepts of supply and demand. And instead, they're just pointing fingers. Oh, it's the utility's fault. Well, the utilities don't own any generation in New Jersey. They're not allowed to. It's PJM's fault. PJM, for your listeners, is the a regional nonprofit entity that oversees all the generators in a 13-state area around the Mid-Atlantic, stretching from Illinois down to Virginia. You know, PJM's trying to keep the lights on. That's their job. And the Murphy administration is simply just being unrealistic. And, you know, let's see what happens next. Presumably, prices are going to go even higher.
There's no doubt about it, because the trend doesn't benefit us. It's math, folks. New Jersey at the moment uses about 11,500 megawatts of electricity daily, and that's not peak demand. Peak demand in the summer is around 19 or 20,000. So we're now importing, on average, about 8,000 megawatts during peak hours, and that means we're having to import more and more energy. So naturally, the price that you're going to pay when you get your electric bill is going to continue to surge. And the part about this that's so scary, Dr. Lesser, and we're talking to Dr. Jonathan Lesser of the National Center for Energy Analytics, this problem, while predictable, was ignored by the ruling class in Trenton, and now we just can't snap our fingers and replace six power plants that have closed since Governor Murphy's taken office overnight. This is a problem that's going to take some time to solve.
Absolutely. And as you pointed out, offshore wind was going to be the solution. Well, it's not going to be, because its costs, and New Jersey ratepayers are fortunate because the costs of offshore wind are just completely insane. You know, they basically, why would anyone want to build a new natural gas-fired generator in New Jersey with this set of market conditions? And an administration that's openly hostile doesn't want them. You know, they're rational. They'll go somewhere else. And that's not the only thing they've done. I mean, New Jersey has said, we don't want any new gas pipelines. Those gas pipelines would enable the state to purchase and get gas from Pennsylvania, which has lots and lots of natural gas. And that would enable the remaining natural gas generators to operate at lower costs and save customers money. But the state, because they're so focused on climate change, and nothing the state does will have any impact at all on world climate, they're not going to accomplish anything. All they're going to do is make customers more miserable, drive away business. And you're right. Even if they recognize the problem, and I'm not sure they actually still recognize it, it will take years to remedy.
And they're going to continue to double down on these almost kind of cosmetic gimmicks, right, in order to help them continue to win elections. We got a demonstration in that this week from Mikey Sherrill. She's an incumbent congresswoman. She's the Democrat nominee for governor. She is proposing, and I don't want to make Dr. Lesser's head explode here because he's an economist, so he actually understands this stuff. She's essentially proposing price controls. She says that she is going to freeze rate hikes after she declares a state of emergency upon taking office in January. Dr. Lesser, have you ever seen any type of price freezing or price controls actually end up helping people achieve cheaper utility bills anywhere in the world? And you've studied the economics of energy on more than one continent.
No, I mean, price controls don't work. California did this 20 some years ago after their power crisis in 2001. They forced the utilities there they wouldn't allow them to raise their rates. They charge customers, while the utilities had to buy more and more costly electricity. So what happened? They just went bankrupt. So if, you know, if they want to impose price controls, well, I guess you're going to see bankrupt electric utilities. And the other thing that I guess she doesn't understand is New Jersey's electric utilities, the only thing they do is provide the poles and wires service. They deliver electricity. They don't own any generation. So if she tries to freeze the prices, well, one, she can't freeze the prices that are charged by out-of-state generators or even in-state generators. That's a violation of the Interstate Commerce Act. And then if she does try to freeze them, what are they going to do? They're going to just stop delivering power, which is what happened in California. The power supplier said, we're not going to honor these contracts because you're not paying us what you agreed to. The same thing will happen. The state, is also threatened to withdraw from PJM. Well, and that's another insanely stupid idea. It'll just make power that much less reliable in the state and raise costs. So, I really hope that your listeners can spread the word and understand that this is all silliness, and you've got to get back to a rational electric system, which means more natural gas generators. You could try restarting Oyster Creek. What the reaction to that was, why they had to force it closed, I don't know. It's going to take a while, but these Band-Aid solutions are just going to make people worse off in the long run.
Yeah, and once again, we have an example of a problem that was created by the very people and the very party that are telling us they're going to solve it. And the part that's frustrating, Dr. Lesser, you referenced California, I did earlier. We know how this all ends. We have an example of where these policies lead. This is not something that we are speculating about in the abstract. California, since October 2017, so over the course of the past 8 years, has had over 50,000 documented blackouts, folks. This is a state that, because of what they've done to it, they can't even have an actual physical Bed Bath and Beyond. I'm sure you've seen that story over the course of the past week. It's a disaster. I don't know where my wife would go to buy her towels, Dr. Lesser. So we have an off-ramp this year in the gubernatorial election. I hope we take it. Before we let you go, because I know your time is precious, what are some of the initial steps you would take if you were advising Jack Cittarelli, the Republican who's running for governor this year, and he's successful in November and actually has the ability to impact New Jersey's energy future?
Well, first I would recommend that he eliminate all of the electrification mandates. Get rid of advanced clean car rule too, that requires 100% of new vehicles sold in New Jersey to be electric by 2025. And it starts with this year's models. I think something like 27% of new vehicles have to be electric. That'll destroy the car industry in your state. Secondly, get rid of all the nonsense about offshore wind, solar, carpeting the state with solar panels. It doesn't work. Allow new gas pipelines to be built into the state to provide customers three quarters of New Jerseyans heat with natural gas. Let them heat with lower cost natural gas from Pennsylvania. And then start building, providing incentives or at least an atmosphere where you're welcoming new generators to come in. So new natural gas, I would see about restarting Oyster Creek. Just end the green energy madness, frankly.
We know the path forward, folks. It's all about having the right kind of leaders that, instead of gaslighting, are going to do the right things to actually empower the people, empower our future. This is why elections have consequences, and you need the direct, accurate information to make the right decisions. That's why we invite guys like Dr. Jonathan Lesser on this program. Again, Dr. Jonathan Lesser of the National Center for Energy Analytics. That's energyanalytics.org. Head over there and check out some of his fantastic scholarship. We always appreciate you making time for us. And I have a feeling many more wacky things are going to be said about electricity in New Jersey between now and November. So we have to pull you back again before Election Day.
Well, I'm always happy to be on your show, and it's always a delight for me. Thank you.
The feeling is mutual. Thank you, Dr. Lesser. Dr. Jonathan Lesser, folks, here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Quick timeout. A little early seventh inning stretch here, but don't worry. We're going to be back with more in just a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand. On demand.
I thought I had you figured out for a moment, Daniel, with all of these mysterious absences, sabbaticals from our program here. Because as soon as I heard about all of these men joining cheerleading squads,
the secret's
with the NFL,
out. You weren't supposed to say that yet.
What do you mean I wasn't supposed to say that?
That was supposed to be a secret.
That you were signing up?
Yeah. We were going to do a big reveal, like a big gender reveal.
A big gender reveal? You were going to jump out of a cake or get a pop out of a balloon?
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to double down on making this any more awkward than it already is.
No, we don't.
I have a feeling that you probably
I'm on the sidelines in my little skirt, my pom-poms. Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, speaking as a somewhat effeminate male, right? You, not me. We already concluded that I'm extremely masculine. I don't drink seltzers. Are you offended? Are you offended by these men out there taking positions
in cheerleading?
Traditionally
no.
Held by women?
No.
No? Why? So are you approving of it?
I mean, I don't really care. It's always been a thing.
You're agnostic.
What? I guess, yeah.
Yeah, see, people have said that. They've said it's always been a thing, but the male cheerleaders of yesteryear, they didn't perform the same function as the female cheerleaders.
Correct, but there's always been male cheerleaders. Like, even when I was going through school, there was male cheerleaders. They didn't do everything as feminine as the female cheerleaders, but there were still male cheerleaders on a cheer team. I think the NFL's had a couple, too.
Right, they wore pants and held a megaphone. Yeah.
Right. They were mainly the bases for the Flyers, and they weren't like really dancing and everything. But they were part. They were male cheerleaders, so like it was always a thing. I don't know why people are being, but I don't know why everyone's so uptight about all of a sudden the Vikings are adding two gay men onto the team now. All of a sudden, I really don't understand it
because I don't want to watch it.
It's the Minnesota Vikings. Who's watching the Vikings?
Well, that's fair.
You're not from Minnesota, so why are you watching? Like, why do you need to watch it?
I would never live in Minnesota.
Exactly my point. If anyone has to deal with it, it's me because I'm a Packers fan and we're in the division.
Are you happy about that?
I don't care. It doesn't bother me one bit. They're making more money than me, so it really doesn't matter.
Here's the part that I don't understand. And the Eagles are playing the Vikings this year, by the way, October 19th. So if you're a Birds fan, you're going to have to deal with it on October 19th. Everything is business at the end of the day, right? The NFL, it's a business, one of the biggest businesses in the entertainment industry. All the indicators are that the culture is presently galloping away from wokeness, political correctness. This is probably the most subdued Pride Month ever since Pride Month became a thing, right? You didn't even send me a Pride Month card.
You didn't send me one.
Well, I stopped sending them once I have kids. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But what is the play here from the NFL and some of these teams? Why are they doubling down on something that appears to be becoming less in vogue? I was going to say less popular, but I think in vogue may be the more appropriate way to conceptualize it because a lot of this is a fad. I don't know. I just don't understand the business end of it.
I don't see why people are so offended by it. I really don't. You don't like it, then don't watch it. It's just something that's stupid, and they're putting so much time into it to make it a big issue that it is. Like, just let them do it and be done. Like, they're not bothering anyone. They're doing what they love to do. I don't understand it. That's like, I don't know if that's me being a bad person or not, but I don't understand it. I really don't.
It's not you being a bad person. I suspect a lot of people agree with you. I just think there's more dimensions to it. Like, case in point, these teams are competitive. People try out and they're unsuccessful. So once again, you have a situation where you have men taking roles that are traditionally filled by women. So there are young women that are trying out for these teams and not getting them because they wanted to have a couple of gay guys on the team, a couple of male dancers.
I mean, I don't even think, I mean, male, like I said, male cheerleaders have been around. They're all through schools and everything. A lot of them gay, a lot of them aren't, but a lot of them were also like bigger and muscular. So they could be the bases for the females.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. They traditionally perform different functions. These guys are out there. I mean, the only thing that separates them from the women is they're wearing like slightly less short shorts.
Yeah. But again, who cares? You know, if you're that offended over someone on a feet, like if you're that offended over someone like just doing what they love, then you have bigger issues in your life. Like, just
I don't think it's necessarily always a matter of being offended. It's what I want to see and what I don't want to see. Like, I have no problem with consenting adults as long as they're not bothering me doing what they want to do with their life. But I don't want to watch men in skimpy shorts dance around. It's not what I enjoy. I don't find it in any way engaging.
A lot of it also might be on I don't think it's necessarily those two guys. I think it's more on the coaching staff of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders, and I think it's more on the Vikings itself, not of the actual cheerleader. They could have went in and be like, you know what? I was a base all throughout high school and all throughout college. That's what I want to do. But they're like, hey, no, you're not going to do that. So it also could be on like the Vikings organization and not necessarily them.
You're kind of like the base of the Matt Rooney show.
Yeah, so I don't think people should be taking it out on them. They're just doing what, like I said, they're doing what they love to do. They're getting paid probably more than all of us are getting paid. I think it's more so the actual organization. Like, I know the Cowboys cheerleaders, they have tryouts out the ass. Like,
oh, it's extremely competitive.
Yeah, and
did they make a documentary?
I mean, they have a show that my mom watches constantly because she loves it.
They don't make that much money though, NFL cheerleaders.
They make more than what we do. I'll tell you that.
I don't know about that.
I think they get
paid about $150 a game.
It's the average.
I think the Cowboys make more.
The average annual salary for an NFL cheerleader is $45,100. It's about $22 an hour.
All right. So I mean, they're making a fraction of what the players make, right?
Yeah, but I mean, still.
And your average 30 something with a college degree is probably making better than that in our area.
I mean, they're also, like, they probably have full-time jobs as well.
Right. It's not a full-time gig.
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders probably make way more because it's the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Right. They make $75 an hour, I'm looking right now.
Oh, well, so that's why it's like a huge honor to be a part of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Yeah, just like it's a huge honor to be a producer for the Matt Rooney show.
All right, don't get
it. But I don't let you be shaking your booty around.
I mean, I could. I'm doing
the audience doesn't want to see that. Well, maybe some in the audience do.
I mean, you don't know that.
But this is something that kind of annoys me. Like, again, I don't hate anyone just because of who they are. I have no problem with consenting adults living the life they want to live as long as they're not asking me to subsidize it. But at the same time, you know, as a heterosexual guy that likes football, like, I don't want to watch men in skimpy outfits shake their rear ends. I mean, the market's ultimately going to decide this, of course, whether or not it impacts their viewing. I've made the point that I wanted to make, that I just don't understand the doubling down on wokeness at a time when Americans are indicating they're kind of over it. Right?
Well,
especially in women's spaces. I think that's the part that sometimes, and I hate doing this to you because it's, you know, you're younger than I am. It's not your fault you don't have kids, but you don't have kids. And I think as soon as you have a daughter, you kind of begin to analyze some of this crap a little differently because you're like, you know what, if my daughter tries out to be a cheerleader and that's what she wants to do and she gets the role taken from her from some guy just because somebody wants to be woke and have a gay dude on the team, like, come on, that ain't right. Girls deserve to have a chance to succeed too.
I will be devil's advocate and say,
yes,
cheerleading's not necessarily a female only thing. I would say it's more co-ed esque. Like, I mean, any male can go and be a cheerleader. the thing is that
I refine my statement and then I'll shut up and let you talk?
Yes.
NFL cheerleading, that style, is a female-only sport. It's women in skimpy outfits performing provocative dance routines. At the collegiate level, you are correct. It's more like gymnastics.
Okay, yes. I can agree with that, yes.
Like, I've never been to an NFL game and seen them do a pyramid.
No. It's high school and college is probably about competing and all that gymnastic stuff. So, yes, I can see... Okay, yes, I do agree with you on that one. NFL cheerleaders, mainly females. Yes. Back to what I was saying, though, it's just like, would you rather them be trans and act like, you know, fake women? Or would you rather them actually be gay and just be like, hey, I'm gay, I'm not trans?
You know? I'd just rather let women be the cheerleaders.
Again, I think that comes back to the Vikings, not them. I think they applied for it, not thinking much. And the Vikings are like, yeah, let's bring you on.
Well, look, I don't think these guys should be pilloried or anything. You know, they're not breaking any laws.
Also, how often do you see the cheerleaders on TV for more than like 30 seconds at a time? You don't look at
the they exist unless I go to the game.
Exactly my point.
They play a more prominent role if you're actually at the game because they do little performances in between.
Right. I think
during commercial breaks and stuff.
I think people are making this a bigger deal, thinking that they're going to see these cheerleaders on TV the amount of times that they saw Taylor Swift on TV. They're not. The networks don't really show the cheerleading performances, unless it's like maybe Thanksgiving or Christmas. But other than that, they don't. Like, they show on the sidelines cheering, but they don't show their performances or like the little quirks that they do.
I think the only thing you and I disagree about, and I'm not even sure it's really a disagreement, it's just I think I understand that. It's not that most people expect this to disrupt their day-to-day lives. Like, oh my God, there's two dudes that are Vikings cheerleaders. You know, the country's falling apart. It's that there are so many different ways that this ideology continues to invade and affect our lives in more invasive ways and more confrontational, aggressive, offensive ways that now when it comes up, people just have very little tolerance for it. Does that make sense?
Like, I get what you're saying.
Like, the drag queen story hour is a much bigger deal than this for a lot of patently obvious reasons, I hope. But what they're doing is they're limiting people's tolerance and ability to choke down some of this stuff because they, and I'm referring to the overlords of our culture and these corporate boardrooms, they're continuing to shove this stuff down our throat when we just don't want it.
Yes, I understand that point. But my main thing is that I don't see why people care so much. I don't.
That's what I'm trying to explain. I think it's not that people care so much about this proximately. It's that it's just everywhere, constantly in your face. And look, it's the same reason why people got so ticked off about kneeling, right? I mean, do I care about the opinion of some overpaid athlete who's got two brain cells to rub together? No. But football is where you go. Sport is traditionally where people go to feel united and to escape all of this partisan rancor and other crap. It's supposed to be a unifying principle. So when you turn on a game on Sunday, which is your day to kind of escape from your work week, the other pressures that plague you, and there are guys kneeling and disrespecting the country, and then all of a sudden the cheerleaders rung out, and there's a bunch of dudes in miniskirts shaking their tails in your face. That's why it aggravates people. I'm not saying you have to be aggravated, but that's why people are annoyed by it.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell people how to live their lives. That's just me. I just think people shouldn't really. I get why people are upset, and I get why people are like, I don't want it. But at me, I'm just like, who cares?
Well, so then the next time that we are live in the studio and I wear sandals, you're not going to say anything, right? You're not going to get on me about my flip-flops? Because you're not going to judge me for how I live my life?
I think they're heinous, but I'm not going to judge you for it.
You have definitely judged me for wearing flip-flops.
No, I just said, back at it with the man flops. Other than that, I don't really care what you do. Clearly, your wife let you out of the house with them, but that's a different story.
She's never complained about them.
Again, she lives with you. I don't. I see you once a week. She sees you every day. So, I mean...
She's a lucky woman.
Wouldn't say all that, but sure, we can go with that.
Well, we get to, because this is the Matt Rooney Show, and I'm Matt Rooney here on 1210 WPHT. And if you can believe it, we're already an hour into this thing, but don't freak out. We still have another full hour still ahead. We have our brand new surprise segment we're rolling out this evening. Very excited about it. Of course, Twit Talk. Maybe we even have time for Dan's Fact of the Week. So much fun, you lucky ducks, here on 1210. So stick right here. We'll be back with you in a moment. Don't move a muscle.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. This is the Matt Rooney Show. I am the aforementioned Matt Rooney, coming to you all the ways that, heck, people can come at someone on the radio dial via the Odyssey app, and of course, via our relatively brand new podcast. It's been out for a little while now, growing by leaps and bounds. Make sure you subscribe over on Spotify, Apple iTunes, you know, everywhere you go to get those things. Kicking off our dose of dose for our bilingual listeners here on the show, joined by our Gen X Latinx expert,
Gen Z,
producer Dan Valdez.
Gen Z, wait, not Gen X.
What do you mean Gen Z, not Gen X?
I'm Gen Z, not Gen
X. Did I say you were Gen X?
Yes.
I aged you up. I'm sorry.
You said Gen X, Latinx, and I'm like, no, buddy. I'm still Gen Z.
You are definitely not Gen X.
No, at all.
I aged you up. I'm sorry.
You said Gen X, Latinx, and I'm like, no, buddy. I'm still Gen Z.
You are definitely not Gen X.
No, at all. Well,
Gen Z is a very different creature.
Right. We got a different slang.
Different slang. Also, if you can believe it, far more conservative than many prior generations.
Yeah.
The data continues to bear that out. Gen Z is now, especially men, one of the most Republican demographics in the entire country. I don't know if that's reflected in your friend circle.
I don't
but
really
it's
care.
It's a thing. Well, it doesn't matter if you care. I'm not asking if you care. I'm asking whether it's a thing.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to get. I don't know.
Because you don't talk about it with them.
Correct. I have no interest in doing it. For the most part, yes. But, you know, there's some things that everyone has their own opinion, but there's some things that they say and I'm like, okay, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I also think it's a mistake to compare what being a Republican-leaning voter means in 2025 to what it meant in 2005, right? Because Gen Z's becoming more Republican doesn't mean they're becoming Bush Republicans.
Correct.
The Republican Party coalition is much different today than it was before Trump.
I don't know if I would even classify myself as like a far right. I would say I'm probably like middle right, to be honest with you.
Let's say you're kind of like mid.
That's a Gen Z term right there. Good job.
Just mid. Yeah, see what I did?
There's now a term called beautifully mid.
Beautifully mid?
Yeah, which is like the girl's like kind of cute. She's beautiful mid.
Yeah, but see, that the reason I don't like that is because it's an overcomplication.
Right.
Why not just say cute? Like, you know, you're not beautiful, but you're not ugly. You're cute. It doesn't need additional modification.
It's beautiful mid. You're not, you know what I mean? Like you're mid, but you're also beautiful. So
no, I understand the concept. I just think it's excessive.
I don't know, man. I didn't create it. I just follow it.
Yeah, I'm just a millennial.
Right.
What do I know? Although, as I've talked about before here in the program, I consider myself more of a zennial than a millennial. I'm an in-between category.
A zennial? Okay.
Yes. I haven't talked to you about this before.
No, that's a new one.
Yeah, so it's a sociological term that's starting to become more popular. I was born in 84, so I'm technically a millennial. Most people peg it at like 82 is when the millennials start.
Okay.
But if you compare me to somebody that was born in the 90s, I had a different upbringing. Like I didn't have a cell phone or social media until I went to college, really. I mean, I had a cell phone in high school, but only once I started driving.
No, it was
a Gordon Gekko phone.
Sweetie, we call that sheltered.
No, it's not sheltered. It didn't exist. It didn't exist. I remember where I was sophomore year of college when my roommate came back and said, hey, they just started this thing called the Facebook. I just signed up.
I made my Facebook in 2008 when I was 8 years old.
Right. So you're Gen Z. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, but, I try not to use it as much. But
my child was analog. I played outside. We rode bikes. We had video games, but they were very basic. It was Duck Hunt.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So in some ways, I'm closer to a Gen Xer, which is why the whole Xennial thing applies to people that are kind of like older millennials.
You were just around when the dinosaurs were around.
Some. Not any of the good ones.
Yeah.
No T-Rexes or anything.
Nah.
Just those ones with the fins that killed Dennis Nedry.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure he was a great guy.
You have never seen Jurassic Park?
Not really.
The guy who played Newman on Seinfeld?
Nope.
All right, let's just keep going. Your age ticks me off sometimes.
All right, well, I'll leave.
Yeah. Well, look, it's not just... No, stay where you are. Stay exactly where you are.
Okay.
Gen Z, your generation, whether you talk about your buddies or not, you are fueling a boon for the Republican Party in registration. It's been reported this week that the Democrat Party is now in full crisis mode. Something like 30 states in this country track partisan registration. Some states you just sign up to vote. You don't register as a Republican or a Democrat. But of those that do, pretty much all of them have seen drops, net drops in Democrat registration and net increases in Republican registration, including New Jersey and Pennsylvania, which have seen significant increases in Republican voter registration. I talk about New Jersey a lot just because we have an election coming up this year. I think in PA you're about 50,000 voters short of flipping that state from blue to red. In New Jersey, about 200,000 fewer net Democrat registrants separating Republicans from Democrats as opposed to 4 years ago. It's really remarkable, and it's young people. And the reason why it blows my mind is because for most of my politically conscious life, we constantly heard the demographics of destiny. Black voters, Hispanic voters, young people are Democratic. They lean left. So Republicans at the end of the day are up a creek without a paddle. Well, now all of that is reversed. Democrats aren't having kids. Remember they had that like vasectomy wagon outside of the Democrat National Convention last year, right? They're actively opting out of reproducing. Young people increasingly joining the ranks of the GOP, or at least disassociating from Democrats and leaning right. Hispanic voters, black men warming up to the Trump coalition. It's just, at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. We talked about this in the first hour in relation to your electric bill. You're not producing enough energy, your electric bill is going to go up. This is also just math. If Democrats continue to hemorrhage young people, they're in deep doo-doo, as producer Daniel would say. But the woke have not learned their lessons. They continue to try to fix things that ain't broke. The most notable recent example, I believe, is Cracker Barrel. Are you a fan of the Cracker Barrel?
Oh, I love a good Cracker Barrel. I haven't been there in a while, but I do love Cracker Barrel.
It's been a good long time, but I do like the sawmill gravy.
That
kind of like gross gelatinous white stuff that they pour on top of things.
Yeah, their chicken and biscuits is delightful.
Yeah, it's quite good. For those who've never experienced it, I'm sure you've seen it off the highway, even if you've never been. It's just a great place to stop when you're on a long road trip and don't want to go too far off the highway.
Right next to in Conshohocken and right next to IKEA.
So if you don't want to go into IKEA and buy some furniture that you're going to have to assemble yourself and get some Swedish meatballs,
you can
pop over to IKEA and you can get some, country fried steak with sawmill gravy and biscuits on top. Breakfast is pretty good too. Now, they have an iconic logo, or I should say they had, with a Cracker Barrel and kind of old-timey script in the middle of kind of a yellow field, and then some kind of old dude sitting next to a barrel, right? Well,
you know, we call that the Cracker Barrel.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm glad that you... You know, the thing that I love about you on the radio is you can just paint these beautiful pictures for everyone.
In case you were wondering, like, wow, what's that barrel? The cracker barrel.
It's full of crackers. Well, not what I was going for, but okay. I know what you were going for. I'm just talking right past you. But I have a more important point. Did they ever actually keep crackers in a barrel?
Probably not. I don't think I ever got crackers when I was there.
I don't even know if they actually have them. They probably have them in the gift shop. Oh, hold on. I'm looking this up here. According to AI, people did keep crackers in barrels in the 19th and 20th centuries.
There you go.
Okay, so at one point, I guess that makes sense. Well, in any event, they have kind of a woke-ish CEO. I don't know too much about her politics, obviously, but you know how I know that she's woke? Because she's a white woman of a certain age with thick plastic glasses. Speaking as a Four Eyes with plastic glasses, when a white woman wears them.
Easy, buddy.
Why are you getting your little rear end in there?
I have thick glasses and I have Four Eyes.
Right, and you're a white woman, but you're an exception to the rule. You're not a liberal.
Correct. Also, Cracker Barrel got its name from the barrels used to ship soda crackers to country stores.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Checkmate.
Bonus fact of the week.
Is that what you were interrupting me for? I felt like there was more.
No, that's it. I just wanted to let you know they got
the name. Well, I'm glad. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
But she has now pursued the aesthetic remake of Cracker Barrel stores. It's been announced this week. And there's been an uproar. Because now the Cracker Barrel logo no longer has the old man, no longer has the barrel. It's kind of just this sterile yellow shape with the Cracker Barrel name in the middle and really not much else in the way of folksy country ornamentation. The outrage on social media has been pretty severe. As of at least Thursday, Cracker Barrel stock was down about 7%. But the CEO went on morning television and is insisting that the reaction has been positive. This is cut number two.
And
all right, I got to ask this question. I think I probably know the answer. What if all the customers are coming at you hard enough about the look of the restaurant and they want to go back to the old way? Would you do it?
Honestly, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive that people like what we're doing. I'll give you another soundbite. I actually happened to be in Orlando last week with all of our managers. We bring them together and every other year. And the number one question that I got asked, Michael, was, how can I get a remodel? When can I get a remodel? How do I get on the list?
Oh, really?
So because the feedback and the buzz is so good, not only from our customers, but from our team members. They want to work in a wonderful restaurant. So we're doing everything for our guests and our team members.
Well, Julie Messino, it's wonderful to have you here.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for answering those questions for all the Cracker Barrel fans out there. It's a lot of great changes.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
She's lying.
Yeah, I think she's fibbing a little bit there. I mean, first of all, what are the employees going to say when the CEO shows up and wants to talk to you about these changes that she clearly likes? Oh, that's a really crappy idea, boss. No one's going to say that. And I don't know who the customers are. If you haven't seen a photo, they're all over social media. It's so sterile looking. The best quote I saw on social media is someone said something to the effect of, this is what a Cracker Barrel would look like had it been designed by Dolores Umbridge. If you're not a Harry Potter fan, that is a miserly, kind of wicked, uptight female witch professor from the Harry Potter universe. And it's pretty darn accurate. It's completely lost any of its charm. You used to feel like you were kind of going into a restaurant version of the old Splash Mountain at Disney World. And that's not what it is. And I'll tell you what's going on here. Some of it probably is some wokeness, right? But some of it is what's wrong with our business environment in this country. Instead of doubling down and spending some money and sacrificing and actually improving the quality of Cracker Barrel food, right? They already have a cool brand. Why not continue to improve upon your menu? Maybe lean a little bit more into your folksy branding. Instead, you hire a consultant. you redo some dining rooms, and then you're able to say that you accomplished something to your shareholders. When at the end of the day, I don't think it's ultimately going to work, but these are the types of minds that business schools are turning out in 2025. And it's sad.
I love a good minimalist logo. I think minimal, I think less is more in my mind, and I don't know why, but I love minimal logos. But this one just isn't doing it. I don't know why, but this one just doesn't do it for me. Like, if you look at the old Nissan logo to the new Nissan logo now, I'm like, it's pretty good. But this one just does nothing for me. I don't like it.
Well, I think they'd almost be better off just having the man in the barrel.
It'd be better off just having a barrel.
Yeah, right. Because that's something that everyone could identify. You see, like, kind of that yellow-brown barrel from the highway as you're driving along, and your belly's aching a little bit, feeling a little hungry. You know what's there.
I just don't like it. I really don't. And I hope they get backlash to where they're like, oh, we should probably go back. But I don't.
Yeah, it's garbage. I haven't really seen anyone defending it other than the CEO. But again, what is she going to do? She's got to defend it because it was her decision. Classic American brands, and we've seen a lot of this in recent years, they're classic for a reason. People are attached to them, you know? That's why people were ticked when Aunt Jemima went bye-bye, right?
Also, I didn't mean to cut you off. Supposedly, they're also remodeling the inside of Cracker Barrels now, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you look up a picture of them, it's so sterile, and it doesn't have any of that folksy charm anymore.
It looks like a Waffle House.
Right. You're taking away what's special about it.
Like, it has white walls. Obviously, it has, like, antiques on the wall, if they're really antiques or not. But, like, it looks like a modern restaurant. That's not what Cracker Barrel was known for.
Right. Well, apparently, America First Legal has already pursued, prior to this whole episode, civil rights complaints over this CEO who has allegedly perpetuated a DEI regime at Cracker Barrel, promising to identify, recruit, and advance hires based on race. Again, I could have told you this about it without doing any research, because it's like Tarlov over on Fox News, the token liberal they have on that network. If you see a white woman of a certain age that wears the thick glasses, you know she's a lefty. It's how they identify. It's the uniform. For whatever reason. I think it's because it's a way to try to signify intelligence. And normally the bigger the glasses, the dumber they are. It's a need to compensate. It's kind of like men who feel a little inferior, have little guy syndrome, and end up buying like the biggest damn truck they can find. This is the female equivalent.
Oh, I just take the penis enlargement pills that they do on the adult video sites. I don't know if that's the same thing or not, but
you do?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. We really needed that.
Little self-confident, not confident. It's just that's why I got to take those.
Hey, Dan, when you're at work, can you please keep the crackers in the barrel?
Go to HR. I don't really care.
He's like, fire me. Do me a favor.
I'll show you the door.
I mainly just feel bad for Bella in this whole discussion, but
yeah, she's fine.
We'll let the lady speak for herself. Here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. I'm going to run out and grab some sawmill gravy. Well, I can still go to a Cracker Barrel with traditional branding, but you know, don't go anywhere. We still have plenty of show left on this episode of our little program that could. Back in a minute.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back to the Matt Rooney Show. I think it's time we unveil our new segment.
Is it that
Should
time?
We hit it with it? I think it's...
Yeah, go ahead. Spit it out.
Well, no, you seem a little hesitant.
I'm not. Are you?
I don't know. I just hope everyone enjoys it as much as we do.
Okay, well, shall we roll it?
Yeah, let's do it. For the first time ever on the Matt Rooney Show.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States. President of the United States. Mr. Trump is in a
world. I am so sorry to my world. This is not what we want.
For the first time ever, white wine whiplash. That's right. Once a week, we are going to give you some of the craziest white ladies you've ever heard in your life. Because we know in 2025, the existential threat to the Republic is not communists, foreign terrorists, some type of biological terror. No, it's educated, super woke white ladies who don't know what they don't know and go on TwitTok and TikTok and Twitter and all the other places and just say absolutely outrageous things with no sense of self. We've got two this week because it's the inaugural edition of White Line Whiplash. And so we want to make sure that it's a memorable one. I don't know which one to start with, Daniel. I think we should start with number three. And I'll kind of set this up for everyone. This young lady, and I think she's young. I really can't tell how old she is. And even though she's not very polite, it's not polite to guess a woman's age. Every gentleman such as myself knows that. But she was triggered by a police officer at Union Station, which is the major train station not far from the Capitol building downtown in Washington, D.C., which, of course, is full of protesters at the moment because everyone's angry that Donald Trump is trying to protect them from crime in Washington, D.C. The nerve of our president for trying to protect the citizens that he is charged with protecting. Well, this officer, because you got to imagine these guys are kind of getting sick of the BS, accused this protester of cultural appropriation because this particular angry white lady was walking around with a Palestinian scarf. This is what happened. Cut number three.
Appropriation. Yes, by wearing a scarf that is trying to stop a genocide. You think that's appropriating a culture? Yes, okay, in one way, how is that appropriating Palestinian culture? How is my wearing a kafiyeh appropriating Palestinian culture?
Okay.
You're the one who said it. You're the one who said I'm appropriating Palestinian culture by wearing a kafiyeh scarf. I support Palestinians. And so I am appreciating Palestinians. And appreciating Palestinian people. Yeah. How is wearing a scarf given to me, in fact, by my Palestinian friends? Because I stand in solidarity against the genocide.
It was given to her by her Palestinian friends, Dan.
Shipped all the way from Palestine.
I can understand why it's so precious to her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, which, you know, of course, this is the equivalent of, you know, a white person who's accused of being a racist saying, oh, no, I've got black friends. So, well, she's got Palestinian friends.
That's cool.
I'm sure she does.
I got New Jerseyan friends.
That is true. And I've never given you a scarf.
No.
But I'd be happy to.
But we have a radio show every week.
We do have a radio show every week. That's right.
That's something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what I can give. Give what you can. So there's a common thread that ties that one, though, to our next crazy white lady. This Southern Belle has decided that she's leaving Christianity for a religion that she considers more loving. Let me see your opinion here. Let me find out whether or not you agree with her logic. This is cut number four.
But the last 2 years have changed me, and honestly, I don't think that I can call myself a Christian anymore. I've been considering converting to Islam for 2 years. You want to know the biggest difference that I've noticed between Christianity and Islam? One is based off of love, the other is based off of fear. I used to be on the hard, messy, bloody, dangerous front lines with the Muslims, as opposed to sitting comfortably in the back with the Christians, watching genocide like it's entertainment, eating popcorn, and clapping in the name of Jesus. Who was Palestinian, by the way? I know that publicly denouncing arguably one of the most powerful and evil religions in this world is going to have its consequences, but I don't care because I'm always going to choose the side of love. I keep saying that I'm still deciding, but I think I just made that final decision, and I guess I'll handle whatever comes my way in the name of Allah.
Jesus was not Palestinian, by the way, but we don't need to go down that road. we'll be here forever and we only have so much time, and time is money. But look, I want to be very clear about something from the onset here, because you all know your good pal Matt here. I don't really give a damn how someone prays, right? Like, I've met plenty of people who are Muslim over the years who, you know, probably candidly do a better job of how they live their day-to-day life than I do, right? And I say that as a Christian, somebody who feels very strongly about my faith. However, these liberated young white ladies seem to not understand that this is not just a question of religion or a question of any one particular conflict here. We're talking about a culture that is dominant in places, most notably the Middle East, where you have Islamic cultures that have not undergone a reformation, where women like them are treated worse than dogs. They don't have any rights. In many of these countries, they're not allowed to drive. They're not allowed to own property. They are stoned. If they're raped, they're the ones that are punished. They're sold, more or less, as brides when they're still children to their husbands. And yet they want to sit here and they want to lecture us. They want to be angry at someone like Donald Trump for trying to keep them safe. You just... there's no other way to describe this as stupid, right? And I'm not someone that thinks that everyone that disagrees with me is stupid, but this is stupid. It's utter abject stupidity. You're defending the very people who do not acknowledge your gender's dignity. And they just don't seem to appreciate that. They're just so enveloped in their lefty bubble. This need to be outraged about something, the need for probably belonging. And they find some of that when they get together with other ticked off white ladies who are pseudo intellectuals.
Karens.
Yeah. Well, especially that first one. And of course, it's the limitations of the medium. You can't see the actual video. She's standing there with her camera in the officer's face.
She kind of sounds like AOC a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sandy is like their patron saint.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought it was AOC the first time I heard.
So we're gonna keep up with white wine whiplash. Partially because I'm sure it's going to tick some of you off. And that's fine. Because some of you need to be made a little uncomfortable. You're a little too comfortable in your echo chambers. You need to be rocked out of it. But I mean it when I say it. I mean, look at the polls. Look at the latest results from the most recent election. White women, you're kind of the problem. Taylor Swift was right about one thing. I'm the problem, it's me. Yeah, you Swifties, you're making really poor decisions. I will now go sleep on the couch, Daniel.
Hey, go ahead. That's why I didn't say anything. Not that anyone in this household is a Swiftie, but like...
You're engaged in self-preservation.
I'd let you dig your own grave.
Well, I spoke to my nephews the other day, and apparently Taylor is kind of not in vogue with a lot of young men. They're more like Sabrina Carpenter guys.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. Is that a bad or a good
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. All right. You overheating over there?
She's from Quakertown. She's like 15 minutes from me.
I'm going to have to start packing you in ice or something.
Oh, don't get me started.
You don't do that around Bella, do you? Like start going, oof?
No.
Okay, no. That made me like deeply uncomfortable.
No, I mean, she had her moment the past 2 weeks. Let me have mine.
Her moment?
Yeah, we saw My Chemical Romance 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
And that's like her band.
Oh,
and,
that she loves them.
We saw him at MetLife and we saw him at Citizens Bank Park, and the way that I went oof is how she went when Gerard Way came out. Which Gerard Way is the lead singer, also the creator of Umbrella Academy.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. And yours is Sabrina Carpenter. I don't know a single Sabrina Carpenter song, though.
You probably would have heard them.
Like, I've seen her, right? Because she's like all over social media.
Awesome, right?
I mean, yeah, let me put it this way. She's a very pretty lady. Would I put her in the same league as like a you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of somebody I'd compare
you're
Sidney Sweeney. Let's use a contemporary point of reference. I think Sidney Sweeney is better looking than Sabrina Carpenter. But it's all a matter of personal preference.
I'm good. I'm not gonna comment.
You're not gonna get in on this one?
No.
You're laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not even just disagreeing, you're laughing.
Yeah. I mean, the differences are way noticeable, let me tell you that, but that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Okay, look, I say it all the time. If all men liked the same thing, the world would constantly be at war.
Or they'd just be gooning 24/7.
Jeez.
Am I wrong?
Can I tell you what my thing is about Sabrina Carpenter?
What's your gripe with Sabrina Carpenter?
No, hold on. It's not even anything you're going to guess. I don't like big eyebrows.
She's got really big eyebrows. I can look past that.
Well, I'm sure most people could. I mean, we're judging nines and tens here, right?
Yeah.
So we're getting hyper technical here. I mean, obviously she's a very pretty young lady. I wouldn't say that she's, I'll use a Gen Z-ism again. She's definitely not mid.
No, not at all.
Did you see that Gap, the clothing store, is pushing back at American Eagle with their own
ad? I saw it one of our breaks. I replied to it and I'm like, what the F is this? It's not an ad. It's just people thinking that they're hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of women. I mean, they're fine-looking young ladies. But the thing that's hilarious about it, and some people have pointed it out if you hadn't seen this, there's a black girl, there's an Asian girl, there is someone who's probably Indian. Yeah, and then there's, like, maybe two white girls. None of them have blonde hair.
Yeah, it's not an ad.
None of them have light hair.
American Eagle's like an actual ad. It was like American Jeans.
Right. This is just a bunch of diverse young ladies standing there. But the joke is that it's not real diversity. I mean, diversity would be you'd have a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
But no, they got rid of the white blonde girl, which tells you all you need to know about some of the backlash to the extent that it's not.
It's diverse.
Fake.
DEI is basically everyone included. Except the white people.
Yes, right. Except the white blondes.
So essentially, it's just segregation against the whites.
Well, it's how about
which in reality is the racist.
Well, it's reverse racism, right? And that's a lot of what we've seen. A lot of the backlash against Sidney Sweeney is that people are jealous because a lot of people find her attractive and they don't like that because a lot of people obviously don't look like Sidney Sweeney, and that's okay. Everybody likes something different. You and I just illustrated that, but I think we should call some of this out for what it is. It's jealousy, and in some instances, just straight up racism. Like, I'm looking at these young ladies. I mean, you know, some of them are very attractive. Why can't just there be different types of attractive? Why do we have to cancel what we don't like or makes us feel insecure?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the point of that the Old Navy ad was. I really don't.
It's just appealing to people that are feeling insecure about, you know, women that look like Sabrina Carpenter or Sidney Sweeney.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't at all. They didn't at all. The Gap ad failed. It's essentially what it is. It failed.
Yeah. Yeah, people are just tired of this stuff. You know, I mean, and by the way, too, the other joke about it is if you actually paid attention to the Brilliant American Eagle jeans ad campaign, Sidney Sweeney, being a relatively famous star, right, was the opening splash. But then many of the successive ads featured women who were not white blondes, right? All very pretty ladies. One of them was a young black woman, very, very attractive. She has great genes too, right? I mean, it's just, again, so many of the problems in our country come down to just young women who have been brainwashed by the culture and by the quote-unquote higher education system. Got to deprogram, ladies. Got to deprogram.
Yeah.
This is the Matt Rooney Show. We don't want you to deprogram from us, though. We want you to double down and make sure you're listening every week, whether it be on the radio or whether it be via our podcast. Let's take one more time out, and then we'll be back to close out the program with another edition of Twit Talk in just a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Donald Trump hit the streets of Washington, D.C. this week. How would you feel if you were just hanging out in Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden you saw the president come around with a bunch of National Guardsmen?
Pretty cool.
Making sure everything's locked down. Pretty sweet, right?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. And yet, and we saw some examples of it tonight. We heard some examples here of the program. There are people in D.C. that are actually angry about it. How dare he use federal troops to make sure the federal district is safe? Oh, the horror.
How dare he live in Washington, D.C.?
They're just contrarians. Everything the guy does, they can't stand. It's just, it's...
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
It's kind of funny, actually.
It is, except it's getting old, right?
Yeah, we've had 4 years of this, the first 4 years, and it's like the same thing over and over again.
We're going on like 10 years, right? Because, I mean, he first rode down that escalator in 2015, and it's 2025.
And plus, you still had the people of Biden's presidency who were, like, counting his every move. So, yeah, it's going on a while, like almost 10.
Yeah, I mean, it takes people less time to get over long-term relationships than it's taking the left to get over their TDS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe we can do something to help them chill out here a little bit, Dan. Something a little witty, a little silly.
I do have an idea.
Lots of fun. Do you have an idea?
Yeah, I do.
Remind me what it's called.
Hey, guys, gather round. Gather round.
It's Twit Talk time.
The most confounding segment in all of radio and podcasting,
you
folks.
Shut your mouth. You love it.
I admit it. It's hit or miss. Some weeks I love it. Some weeks I want to jump, but I'm here for it. What choice do I have? It's my show.
Well, I don't know if you want to jump or if you want to love it. I don't know, but we're going to start off with a good one.
And for those who are new, what Dan does is, and it's in the title, right? Twit Talk. He goes to X. He goes to TikTok. He scrapes the bottom of the social media barrel to come up with some of the most entertaining and perplexing clips that are out there.
And by scraping the barrel, it's just anytime I laugh at something and I'm like, damn, Matt would love this. And I just add it to the folder.
Or this would make Matt extremely uncomfortable.
Correct.
Let's do it.
We're going to start off with our lovely gal pal who you love. She's wondering why she's not TikTok famous. And the best thing about this is people just go on TikTok and just rant about everything. And this is one of those things. Okay. Now you're not playing. Now you're not playing. Here we go.
Why can't I be TikTok famous for being hot? What does it take? What does it take? Because what the f***? Like, I'm sorry.
And I did send you a picture of what she looked like.
Where did you send it to, Mike?
I texted it to you.
Did you?
I did.
Why is it not showing up? The last thing I have from you says wrap up.
Oh, no, this was August 14th, I sent it to you.
With the dark hair?
Yeah.
Oh, she's pretty.
Easy, buddy.
No, I'm just...
She's legal, but yes, that's the girl I play.
I'm just commenting. I mean, honestly, it's not what I expected.
Yeah. That's the girl who's... Yeah.
All right. See, I was expecting something ridiculous, and that's why you wanted me to look.
No. I know the last time that I played one of those clips, you were like, huh, next time you come across, like, show me what she looks like. And that's what she looks like. This next girl has, she crossed the line at something. It's not cheating. She said, that's okay, but there's something else that she crosses the line at.
And she's
my man cheated? I honestly think I could get over that. But if I found out that motherfucker was tickling bitches at work,
tickling bitches at work.
Well, look, you know what? I actually understand this. That's very intimate. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not something you do with someone unless you're really tight, tickling. I mean, it took you and I a while before we started tickling.
This is true. We're still not at the tickling level. We're kind of just like inching our way there.
Yeah, right. Like it's just a little like, you know, yeah. The arm as I pass you in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that fish that you eat that you get from Giant or wherever food store you go to? It comes in a package and it's a fish. You know what that is?
I mean, there's lots of different kinds of fish you can buy just, at the stores, just, Daniel. I mean, salmon.
Name them out.
Salmon, tuna, swordfish.
Thinking of the more expensive ones, you got to think of the cheap ones.
Okay, I mean, cod.
That's one of them. Not the one I'm thinking of, but okay.
And a more expensive fish?
No, it's like the cheapest fish.
The cheapest fish?
Yeah.
I don't know. What would be the cheapest fish? I mean, I don't tuna know, fish this, in a can. I mean,
this guy can tell you what it is if you want.
Okay, well, yeah, help me out here.
All right, yeah.
What's that one fish called? Labia? That's no. Like, you can get it, like, frozen. I think it's called lumpia. Fish to eat that are common. Dude, I'm f***ing stupid. It's tilapia. Dude, my dumb ass said f***ing labia.
It's not labia. It's tilapia.
It's not. Hey, listen, I'm sure there's some frozen labias out there, but can't say anything about quality.
Not labia or lumpia. It's tilapia.
I do like tilapia.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm not much of a seafood guy.
Tilapia is cheap. And there's just, we always get it when we go to food shopping, so it's just like something to have, you know?
Yeah, whereas that other thing we were talking about a minute ago, I mean, you know, could be cheap, could be the opposite.
Labia?
That we mean?
Yeah.
Labia?
Yeah, yeah, got it. Just in case people want to hear it again.
Labia?
There you go.
He's 12 years old mentally, ladies and gentlemen.
Labia?
You know, Charlie,
the fun we have.
You know who Charlie Kirk is, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there was some guy who actually made a really good point with Charlie Kirk, and this is the point that he had to make.
Why would you want to kick out my housekeeper? Because we need to protect all big booty Latinas. If you're a 9, you are fine. You get to stay. If you're an 8, we can have an immigration debate. If you're a 6, you can kick bricks. But Charlie, let's protect my housekeeper. Why does Juanita have to go, Charlie?
You said she's legal, right?
She's illegal, yes.
Oh, illegal.
Okay, illegal. Oh, yeah, she's very illegal. No papers.
I'm sorry. They all got
to
go.
No, but Charlie, I can't afford to pay a legal one. It's like 50 cents an hour for her.
No, it's going to break your bank.
Charlie, please, just let the lady stay. She's not...
No amnesty, no deportations, no exceptions. They're all going
okay,
home.
Okay, well, I still won this debate.
I'm going to try that the next time I'm in court and I don't succeed. I'm just going to say at the end, well, I won this debate. Just declare that you won, even if you didn't.
There you go. You got to save the big booty Latinas. You know what I mean?
It's a movement. Maybe that's the grand compromise.
This girl recorded a lot of traffic. Honestly, there was a car that I've never heard of. So here it is.
Wow, there's a lot of traffic. Oh my God, did you hear that car?
You need me to play it one more time?
If I say no, is it going to matter?
I think
it's
think
not you're like here. You're going to listen to me.
I think you got to play it one more time.
Wow, there's a lot of traffic. Oh my God, did you hear that car? Oh.
The best thing about kids is when you have them, Dan, you can blame them for that kind of stuff. Like, oh man, did you hear that?
It was the dog.
Yeah, and the best part is when they're young enough, sometimes they get confused. They're like, hold on, wait, was that me?
Yeah, now you're okay. This guy gets turned on two things.
That's called a hack, by the way, a parent hack.
Yeah, it's a parent hack. Yeah. I just blame it on the cats. This guy gets turned on off two things. I'm not going to say what they are, but it's two things, and I want you to see if you can figure it out.
Okay.
Got it.
Hey, two things that turns me on. Bottle rockets and Hot Pockets. Well, make me come over there. Get on you like white chicks on an Alani sale. Next time you go over to our house where our parents are gone, bring a pogo stick, an apple pie, and a slightly translucent picture frame. It ain't got to be large. You'll thank me later. That sounds about as much fun as sandpaper and a wildcat's ass and a cactus patch. If I had 2 dozen roaches, would it change your mind? I'm telling you, you want to have a good night with old girl? Go buy some banana popsicles, a quarter oil dry, and y'all play Roblox together.
There's always one in every batch where at the end of it, I don't even know what to say. How do you make a radio host speechless? Twitter.
That's the answer. That would be it. Did you figure out what turns them on, though?
No.
All right. It's right here.
Bottle rockets and hot pockets.
Oh, I thought there was some kind of deeper meaning. I mean, yes, hot pockets make me feel something, too.
Bottle rockets and hot pockets. Do things to turn them on.
Can't say I disagree, really.
We've come to that part of the night where we have one more clip. And you know what that means. It's our good old pal, Theodore Vonkowski, whatever his name is.
I wish that was his real name. Is it?
It is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. His real name is Theodore Capitani von Kernatowski the Third.
Sounds like some kind of like 19th century European general.
I think his dad's like South African or like African or something.
Yeah, no, I believe that's correct.
Anyway, a caller called into a show again, and this is pretty much, yeah. Okay.
I have a friend who has been dating this guy for 3 months, and now she's just revealed to me that this guy is, he is homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, guys are homeless. You know, there's guys, sometimes you see them, and they don't have a home around them. You know, and that's the guys we're talking about. And first of all, if she's dating a homeless guy, and she's probably, I'm guessing they're probably making love if they've been dating for 3 months, then, you know, a vagina is just a little home, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's just a studio apartment for your wiener, baby. And so it's a start, you know? It may not have the square footage that he's looking for, but I think it's a start. And so, I mean, nothing will make that dude want to get a home more, probably. I mean, definitely. I touch a nice I want to make sure, you know, I want to buy a damn Jeep Cherokee or something. You want to get something, you know, it makes you want to, you know, keep trying. So praise God to that, and I'm glad that she's out there servicing those boys.
Makes me want to buy a Jeep Cherokee.
That's what I got for you on TwitTalk.
Oh, man.
Labia?
That was better than bottle rockets and hot pockets, if we're being honest.
Labia?
That's what you get here on the Matt Rudy Show, folks, whether you want it or not.
Labia?
Thank you, producer Dan. Thank you to everybody that listens. And remember, if you're not completely horrified and scandalized, every Saturday on 1210 WPHT, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, or via the podcast. But look, until we get together again, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for that greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.